Good morning and welcome. Hour number three begins on a happy hump day, Trump day. It is 8:07 and your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It is the Bob Rose Show along with Greg Cassidy. Don't forget, the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast. And all you have to do is click on subscribe and you'll never miss a minute of the show. President Trump just crushing it in the Middle East. Big arms deal with Saudi Arabia, lifting sanctions with Syria. Nobody's talked to Syria in over 20 years, I believe. So he's making history and he's doing well. But right now, I want to check in with one of our favorite people in the whole world, Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Good morning, Kat. How are you holding up?
Well, top of the morning to you, fellas.
Yeah, top of the morning to you. You don't know what morning is anymore because I saw you on the Book of Faces at like 4:15, a little bleary-eyed, still working on the budget, correct?
Yes, yes. Energy and Commerce, it is the big Mac Daddy committee of them all. We have been in a markup since 2 p.m. yesterday afternoon, and we have gone straight through with no stopping. And since about 11 o'clock last night, we have been arguing back and forth with the Democrats over work requirements for able-bodied adults with no dependents. And as it stands, the left wants to make sure that illegals and able-bodied healthy adults with no dependents have more resources and better health care coverage than disabled individuals and pregnant women and children.
That makes no sense.
Really, it's really quite something. It makes your head spin. But I mean, we're going to be in this markup for 36 hours. But this is the process to get President Trump's big, beautiful bill across the finish line. And it is a slog, but we're in the thick of it, and we're going to keep on pushing and fighting for what's right.
It seems like the information you're sharing with me right now about the Democrats and how they want to treat illegals, et cetera, better than citizens and women and people that are developmentally disabled, the whole deal, that'll give you plenty of fodder for the midterms, right? Maybe the Republicans will do better than some were predicting earlier.
Well, quite honestly, what's interesting to me is they're using a playbook from about 10 years ago, where they think that they're smarter than everyone else, effectively. And so when we started the markup, and then in about 45 minutes, we're expecting a mass rush of protesters in the room. And what they do is they hold up the Democrats, they'll hold up these posters of people in wheelchairs and children with disabilities and say, this is who Republicans are trying to take away health care from. And we have to remind them every single time, actually, we're taking Medicaid away from illegals. And not one of you is holding up a poster of illegals because you don't want to talk about the fact that you're fighting harder to protect them than you are people who are already protected, that we are trying to keep the program going and make sure they have those resources, those that need it most. I mean, it's been pretty wild to hear folks talk about it. And like I said, there really is a fundamental belief that on the Democrat side that you should not have to work in order to receive taxpayer-funded benefits, particularly if you are an independent, single, no children, able-bodied. They think that it's un-American to work. And that's just a really tough pill to swallow because, you know, you grow up and you're taught if you work hard, you can achieve and you can do all these things. The message they're sending is, don't worry, we'll take care of everything. We're going to make sure you're entitled to all these things. And it's really frustrating because, you have a bunch of people who really are in a boat that are receiving less because there are so many illegals, 1.4 million illegals in the program that are receiving benefits that shouldn't. They're taking away from people and getting a higher benefit than those in the traditional Medicaid population.
Well, look, I've been around the block. You were probably just a wee child when Bill Clinton was, we had a Republican, I believe it was Republican House, and that I thought they addressed this whole issue of, get back to work kind of a thing. This work requirement, I know it started in Wisconsin, and then Clinton accepted it and put it into law. Why are we still addressing this now?
Because we have regressed in so many ways. It really is not just trying to get back to pre-COVID. I mean, we're trying to rectify decades worth of programs that have slid into big government giveaways. And you've heard me say this before, Bob, the agenda of the left has always been about dependency and control. Make people dependent on big government programs so that those that champion them stay in control. And of course, as a small government constitutional conservative, I believe in the power of the individual. And what we're fighting for is to put more freedom, right, in the equation. How do people break away from this overlord type of big government? And that's really the philosophical divide that is happening right now. And this is the political theater that's being played out. Like I said, they're bringing in, a ton of protesters. When I stepped out to take this call with you guys, I would say probably about 30 individuals in bright neon pink T-shirts that say protect abortion were filing in to the committee room to, get ready to protest the hearing because they want to make sure that taxpayer-funded dollars pay for abortion. And we're not going to do that. And so you're seeing Republicans really push back and fight. Another thing that was really frustrating was the left about midnight, maybe 11 o'clock, started talking about broadband and how they support access. And I had to remind my colleagues on the other side that during Biden's 4 years in office, he spent $42 billion and didn't connect a single person to the internet, not one. And so, again, throwing money at the problem doesn't fix it. It's going to take deregulation and making sure that we're actually deploying resources to the places that need it rather than just throwing money in a blanket format and hoping it works out.
Well, I mean, the whole Doge thing, that uncovered that a lot of money that was earmarked for certain things, which, were hard to justify to begin with, weren't even going to those particular entities. It was, they were just laundering really money, right?
Yeah. I mean, and that's what's so frustrating is we're uncovering incredible corruption, waste, fraud, abuse in all different sectors of the federal government. And the number one line that has been said, I had a tally sheet I was keeping at my desk in committee. Once we crossed over to about 110, I had to stop and engage in the debate on this because the number one line that has been used by the left is that we're doing all of this to give tax breaks to billionaires like Elon Musk. What they fail to acknowledge is that if we do not make the tax cuts permanent that are set to expire at the end of this year, every American will see a tax increase. Every American in every tax bracket, substantially more so in your working class and middle class brackets. And that is a reality that they don't want to acknowledge. And so we've had to tell them, listen, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. And the fact remains that every single one who is opposing this bill, they are fighting to actually increase taxes on everyday Americans. And so it's very, very frustrating. We need to keep putting the real truth out there. And I appreciate you guys every day for doing just that because, man, it's time that we fight back and we fight back hard.
Yeah, the old tired line, tax breaks for billionaires, et cetera. Yeah, I believe it's run its course, but I guess they have nothing else to go with for now. But Congresswoman, we appreciate your time, and man, we hope that you can get some things done and get yourself some sleep. Hang in there.
We've got about 24 more hours to go, but we're going to get it done.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, good luck. Yeah. She's pregnant. It's not like she can drink 40 cups of coffee. You know what I mean?
That's true.
You can't do that either.
Good point.
Congresswoman Kat Kamick on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And thank you for taking us along. We've got plenty more to talk about. It's going so well in the Middle East with Donald Trump, and the Abraham Accords are going to be expanded on. We'll talk about all that coming up on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It is 8:21. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Top stories, Trump. That's the top story. Trump, what is he doing? Where is he going? Deals with Saudi Arabia, lifting sanctions against Syria, expanding the Abraham Accords. Big and good things are happening right now. Ukrainian President Zelensky will be in Turkey this week for peace talks with Russia. The talks are scheduled for tomorrow, Istanbul, and it'll be the first direct negotiations between the two countries since shortly after the war broke out in early 2022. But here's the problem. It doesn't look like Putin is going to attend. They say he's punted on whether he will attend. So
then Zelensky says he's only talking to Putin, right?
Well,
that's what he said.
Trump's doing everything he can to pressure them to at least have some kind of a meeting. Just go to the meeting, is what he said, you know? A delegation could reportedly be led by the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. That's probably, you know, who will attend.
Yeah.
And Putin's offer was meant to forestall fresh sanctions on Russia's oil and financial sectors from the UK, Germany, Poland, and France. The countries now intend to levy the sanctions if talks fail to deliver a ceasefire. So, look, there's a lot of pressure on Ukraine and Russia to try to work something out. And there's a lot of financial pressure on Russia. And, you know, as Trump's going around making friends with Saudi Arabia, et cetera, again, not going to bode well for the Russian economy. And that's something that Putin is going to be forced to consider, hopefully sooner rather than later. Milwaukee Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan, old Hannah Doogie Dugan, is facing several years in jail.
Wow.
She was indicted.
Good.
Yeah, by a grand jury for helping an illegal alien escape from U.S. Customs and Enforcement officials. You got to love that. You're a judge.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, I don't like this stinking law. You know, I'm just not really happy with this whole deportation idea. I don't care what the Constitution says or
But ICE is in the building. They're in the building.
Yeah.
What you going to do?
Well, you gotta get the person they're looking for. You sneak them out the back door,
because that's what every judge does, right?
Hopefully not.
No,
maybe in Mexican countries, but that's a whole other story. In a 2-page indictment, Doogie Dugan was accused of obstructing a U.S. agency and concealing Eduardo Flores Ruiz.
He's not Irish.
An illegal migrant, in order to prevent his arrest. And that's according to Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Dugan's defense team revealed that she would enter a plea at a hearing on May 15th. I understood that she was going to plead not guilty in an earlier report I saw. I don't know. But the two charges carry a maximum penalty of 6 years in prison, as well as a $350,000 fine. And so instead of going through the indictments, I mean, you get the idea of what it's about. So there's two counts, all right? And, you cannot just make up your own laws.
No.
Because of how you feel. And I believe that this guy had been booted out once before.
Unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy had been booted out before, came back. Now he's been booted out again, but not if old Doogie Dugan had her way. Mm. Yeah, it really is like Trump derangement syndrome.
These are supposed to be smart people, right? You know, put them in these positions. Supposed to be making good decisions.
I mean, can you imagine if somebody that she snuck out the back door got in trouble, really, you know, hurt or maimed somebody? Would she feel responsible in any way?
I think you'd hold some accountability.
You should.
Right? Yeah.
Representative Buddy Carter, Republican out of Georgia, introduced a bill that would strip three Democrats of their House committee assignments over their involvement in a riot at a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention center. I mean, what does it tell you? That the Democrats are flouting the law, letting wanted people out the back door, showing up and attacking ICE, demonstrating and creating a riot.
But I thought they said no one's above the law. Or is that just Donald Trump?
That's just him.
Oh, okay.
Carter, who is running for U.S. Senate in Georgia, introduced a resolution on Tuesday that would strip Bonnie Watson Coleman, LaMonica McIver, and Robert Menendez of their committee assignments after they stormed and allegedly trespassed at the Delaney Hall ICE Detention Center. The radical left has lost their minds. They would rather raid an ICE facility to defend criminal illegal immigrants than represent their own constituents. He posted that on X, this guy, Congressman Buddy Carter. It's true. I mean, doesn't matter what your words say, it's your actions. I mean, they have lost their ever-loving minds. The three Democratic members involved in this stunt do not deserve to sit on committees alongside serious lawmakers. Acting U.S. Attorney for the District of New Jersey, Alina Haba, has announced that her office is undertaking a thorough investigation regarding the incident that occurred there at Delaney Hall on Friday. All right. It is 8:28. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. Senator Rick Scott, busy trying to keep the commies out of our universities. I'll explain. Coming up next on 97.3 The Sky. The Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast. You know, like Spotify,
really?
Apple,
yeah,
and the Audacy app, AUDACY. Click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show.
Kind of like that chat with Kat Kamak, trying to stay awake in our nation's capital.
Yeah, really, you know, they're putting them through the ringer up there. The Democrats are. They just are making up their own sets of facts, and hopefully the cooler, smarter minds will prevail, those that are really looking out for Americans and American taxpayers.
Yep.
And that's what we have to hope for right now. And keep the bloody commies out of here. Isn't it funny that here we are in the year 2025, we're still talking about commies?
I know. It's like, what was this, the McCarthy era or what?
Well, you've got a great Senator Rick Scott. As you know, part of this spear, so to speak, trying to get the Chinese Communist Party off and out of our campuses. Yep. He's joined by Senator Ted Budd and Senator Ted Cruz. They announced the reintroduction of the DHS restrictions on Confucius Institutes and Chinese Entities of Concern Act. This legislation will prevent Department of Homeland Security grants from being awarded to American universities that have affiliations with the Confucius Institute or any other entities with ties to the Chinese Communist Party, which have been known for espionage and theft of American research and IP. This bill recently passed in the House of Representatives, where it was led by Congressman August Pfluger. Senator Scott also wrote a letter to DHS Secretary Kristi Noem calling for an end to federal funding for schools with CCP ties and outlined several of his other top priorities to protect Americans and America's homeland. And that's a good thing. That's a needed thing. There was really a lackadaisical, well, there was no enforcement under the Biden administration. I mean, they love the Chinese money.
Oh, yeah.
Coming in. Oh, a little influence here, a little influence there. Meh. Not good. All right. So hopefully that'll be addressed. Hey, coming up this Saturday at 9 a.m., there's a dedication of the Military Services Flag Display Plaza. This is an Eagle Scout project of Nicholas Eggers from Marion County Boy Scout Troop 72. The dedication ceremony will be followed by the formal presentation of Eagle Scout designation by local dignitaries and leaders of the Boy Scouts of America. So they're still going strong. It is a big deal to earn your Eagle Scout. That is, and it should still be, a big deal. So go out and support these kinds of events. All right. What else do we have going on? Pete Rose? Is he going to get in the Hall of Fame?
Well,
this will be his.
Could it happen?
This will be his closest opportunity that we've seen probably thus far. As they have, the permanent ban has been lifted by the baseball commissioner Rob Manfred yesterday, making Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and some others eligible for the Hall of Fame after their careers were tarnished by gambling scandals. Manfred announced Tuesday he was changing the league's policy on permanent ineligibility, saying bans would expire at death. MLB said 17 individuals had their status changed by the decision, including all eight banned members of the 1919 Chicago Black Sox. Former Philadelphia Phillies president Williams D. Cox and former New York Giants outfielder Benny Koff. All right. Rose agreed with then-Commissioner A. Bartlett Giamatti to a permanent ban on August 23, 1989, following an investigation commissioned by MLB, concluded Rose repeatedly bet on the Reds as a player and manager of the team. From 1985 through 1987, a violation of a longstanding MLB rule. He first applied for reinstatement September 97. Commissioner Bud Selig never ruled on the request. Manfred, in a 2015, rejected a petition for reinstatement, saying Rose has not presented credible evidence of a reconfigured life. So it really does go back to what I said initially.
Yep.
That if he just would have completely spilled the beans on all that he had done and begged for forgiveness, he would be in the Hall of Fame right now.
Yeah, probably
I think.
So. I think so, too.
Yeah, because as a society, we tend to be very forgiving. Americans, we're forgiving. We're forgiving by nature. Mm-hmm. We're forgiving by Christian teachings. So, yeah, and we ask for forgiveness all the time, so...
When you stick to your guns and people know better, you're not helping yourself.
No, it's difficult to admit that, you know, you've failed so miserably. That is, it's a difficult thing to do that, you know, you blew it. I mean, you put a black mark on your entire illustrious career. And that's... You know, that's kind of hard.
Sure it is.
If you've got the drive and the ego to be able to achieve what you achieve, that can be an impediment to humility and asking for forgiveness.
Yeah, he had some amazing stats, though. I mean, he was good at what he did. So
you better believe it. That guy running home and you're a catcher?
Look like, out!
Let me get out of your way here.
Yeah, just step aside.
He was, I got to meet him for a few minutes one time.
Yeah.
Very nice guy as far as I could tell. His handshake, very firm, and he is built like a man. And this was a few years after he retired, not a lot,
mm-hmm.
but he's the kind of guy that you could hit with a 2x4, and there's no doubt in your mind the 2x4 would snap, and he wouldn't feel anything.
Yeah, he looks solid.
Yeah.
Even in his older years, he looks solid.
That's just his genetics, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, Carrier has agreed, you know, the air conditioning company agreed mm-hmm. to invest $1 billion in U.S. manufacturing. They believe spread over 5 years, and that could create about 4,000 jobs. And the chairman and CEO of Carrier, David Gitlin, said in a statement, the investing marks the next chapter in our commitments to U.S. manufacturing.
Nice.
We are building for the future by creating high-quality, skilled trade careers and empowering American workers to lead the next generation of manufacturing. Yeah, when Trump and maybe even some others, but when Trump started talking about bringing manufacturing jobs back, I think in the minds of some people, they drew a picture of an old factory.
Yeah,
it's a like smoke
old,
puffing out of it.
Old school. Like almost like a lead smelting, plant or something. You know, you're down there with no shirt on and it's dark and you're sweaty. It's like, that's not really modern manufacturing.
Yeah.
It's for a lot of companies.
No, it's all advanced. It's all high tech now. It's all, it's not what it used to be. There's no, big smokestack factories.
Yep. But this is an industry that, like a lot of them, 15, 20 years ago, suddenly you had more manufacturing happening across the southern border. And I'm glad to see Carrier bringing that back.
Yeah. Now, it's what we call a win-win.
Yeah.
And the president is definitely on his win-win tour. What, an abstract difference between Trump mm-hmm. and the way that he was received by Saudi Arabia, for instance.
Right.
I mean, they gave him a fighter jet.
Yeah, the escort, yeah.
Into their airspace and landing at Riyadh. And just the way he's been treated.
The purple carpet.
Versus the huge snub that Biden got. And then maybe even worse than that. Remember when Obama went on his Forgive Us, We're Stupid Americans tour?
Yeah, the apologies tour, we called it. Yeah.
And then the Arab Spring, which we were supposed to believe is, everybody's changing. This is going to be good. This is going to be for freedom and all that.
Uh-huh.
What a load of
horse
hockey that was.
Mm-hmm.
Arab Spring, my eye.
Yeah.
All right. So good things are happening, and we're here to report them. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, of course, and it is a very happy Hump Day Trump Day on 97.3 The Sky. One of the most important things we do in the state of Florida is agriculture. We'll have Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson joining us in about 20 minutes or less, actually about 15 minutes. So stick around for that. Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. What happened on this day in 1904, smart guy? Huh? What happened?
1904?
Mm-hmm.
World's Fair and the Olympics.
First American Olympiad opens in St. Louis, Missouri.
That's why I knew it.
Circle gets a square. Well, that's not easy to know that right off the
bat.
I mean, you might know it, but you don't know today.
That's true.
Was the actual
day. I would not have known the date. I would have just known the year.
What was the name of our first space station?
Skylab.
Wow.
Because I was actually on the air at my first job as a teenager when Skylab was falling. And my brother, who worked for a big radio station in Houston at the time, was doing stuff for his station from NASA. So I, you know, here I was in this podunk little radio station getting these live updates from NASA. So
aren't we Skylab now?
Are we falling? What do you say?
No, but I mean, we're SKY.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And we are a laboratory that is constantly searching for the truth.
I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Skylab. Mm. That would make us like scientists or something.
We'd be like Katy Perry. We'd be astronauts.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's leave that one there then. All right. I got my hopes up there.
Oh, my goodness.
On this day in 1948... the state of Israel proclaimed.
That was a big deal as well. And, of course, we would not be having all these conversations about Trump probably being in the Middle East if that had not happened. So
that is correct. And also what he's doing with the Abraham Accords.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, he basically, the idea was you sign off on believing that Israel has the right to exist as a state. And you know, believe it or not, that's not a concept that, you know, many in the Arab and Persian world would readily accept, per se. But many of them have. Mm-hmm. But during the Biden administration, there was no outreach on that at all. So the whole thing kind of sat there idle. The idea behind it was to try to get more and more countries to sign on to it. And that would help to achieve a level of peace in the Middle East like maybe they haven't seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
So the president is working on that. Things are coming along. He's lifting sanctions on Syria, trying to form a relationship with the interim president there. And it appears that so far those things are going pretty well.
Well, he gets criticism. And some are going to say, well, why do you even talk to those kind of people? You know, they are our enemy. Well, he gets that. I mean, he understands that. That's why he still talks to or tries to, you know, Korea and with the Russians. And because if there is some dialogue going on, maybe they're not throwing rockets at you quite as much that moment. If you can kind of at least find some kind of a happy place.
Well, you might be able to make your enemy. The goal would be make your enemy your friend. Mm-hmm. That takes a lot of hard work. It just doesn't happen by itself in a vacuum. But even if you fall short and maybe your enemy just becomes maybe not an aggressor,
right,
just not friendly per se, you've achieved something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel good about things falling into place. I also was reading or hearing something along the lines of, you know, President Trump said Iran's not going to get a nuclear weapon, and he seemed quite adamant about that. That doesn't mean they can't have nuclear power. So you can have nuclear power and not getting into the heavy-duty refinement that would weaponize it. And so there might be kind of a middle ground that they actually could possibly agree on. Now, you know, it's the old trust but verify and all that goes along with that. But, you know, there's some really good possibilities. And when people in the Middle East, you know, when they begin to see that, you know, that their people are doing better or they're safer or whatever the case may be, that's going to, I think, make them, it's going to help them to see who the good guys are.
Now, you may not turn them around. You know, we've made that. You know, that same discussion about the Koreans, seeing, you know, what can happen, but
we turned half of it around.
But, you know, the hardliners were there, and once Trump was gone, you know, things kind of went back to the way they were.
Well, somewhat. I meant Korea, like, as in South Korea.
No, I got that. But I'm just saying, from the perspective of, you know, the great talks that had, and he went over and visited the whole bit, once he was gone, none of that continued with Biden. And
yeah, you like know. You said, there's hardliners there that... They're warped in their thinking, and clearly they're warped in their thinking, and I can say that because if you look at North Korea, the people there literally are starving. They have nothing,
right?
And they could be they're the exact same genetic have the same genetic disposition as the people of South Korea.
Uh huh.
So
yeah,
It's not like there's some supposed lack of potential other than a harmful style of government that doesn't allow for that.
And sadly, the Biden cabinet was more concerned about eyeliner than the hardliners, but that's what we're dealt with.
And luggage. Free luggage.
Yes.
There's that.
Uh-huh.
Hey, it looks like things are going to open up for the Menendez boys. They allegedly killed their mom and dad.
Yeah.
And
I don't think it's even alleged at this point. They did it, and everybody knows they did it, and they got put in prison for it. But
I guess the idea was the abuse great enough to kind of offset?
Right. And have they served their time?
But a judge said, look, whether they go free or not, it's not up to me, but I'm going to put him in a position of where they could achieve parole if they, the parole board sees fit to it. If they've served, what, is it 30 years?
Something like that, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Jury's still out on that, so to speak.
I think we leave him in there, but that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That's beyond my pay grade. That's where you pray for the good Lord's will. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up. Hang in there and get ready to stretch on 97.3 The Sky.